I speak in the name of a loving God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Once again, happy second Advent, second week of Advent. So I see a lot of the Advent colors this morning. I met some right as I was coming in the door, all in purple and ready for Advent. What is Advent? What is this season? Many of us may think, well, this is what we get. This is where we start doing our Christmas shopping. We start doing our buying for the big meal for Christmas and New Year's celebrations, right? This is the time that we get ready for that grand Christmas day, right? Isn't that where we are? Let's be honest. Is that where we are? Yeah. Well, no. This is a day. This is a season of a little preparation, right? This is a little preparation period for that celebration of Christmas that begins on Christmas Eve, right? We're all about the celebration and little about the preparation, right? That's kind of the way of our lives. And this is really what John the Baptist was telling the people just before Jesus' earthly ministry begins, right? He's not telling them, okay, let's set up the parties, let's get a party tent, let's add some more chairs so that when all the family comes over. No, no, no. What he's saying is prepare the way, right? Prepare yourselves. Prepare in this time for the grand joy that's coming. Because if you're not prepared, the joy won't be so great, right? It won't be so much. It'll be more of a secular celebration as we've learned, right? As we see in the shopping centers and on the TV and all those things. So it's not a preparation for that moment. It's a preparation for this moment. Preparation for this moment that we're in right now. Preparation for the long term of our lives. How do we prepare? How do we prepare ourselves for these things? Matthew and Jesus tell us the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is near. Kingdom of God is here. We celebrate on the other side of John the Baptist's message, right? Because we celebrate on the other side of Jesus' birth and earthly life and passion and death and resurrection. We celebrate from here. But that's not exactly what John the Baptist was. John the Baptist was saying, get ready for that gift that you're about to receive on Christmas Day. Get ready for that gift. John is appearing later in Jesus' life, but the Christmas day that John's talking about is the day Jesus begins his earthly ministry, the day that he begins his message, the day he begins to introduce the good news of the gospel. So John is saying and telling us we should prepare. What does he tell the Sadducees and the Pharisees? You know, the Sadducees and the Pharisees are kind of the targets, right, for all the gospel writers. You know, when we are thinking about film or movies or plays or whatever, you know, there's always a good guy and a bad guy, right? There's always this powerful positive component and then a negative component. And so ultimately, we often put those Sadducees and Pharisees in that negative side. That isn't really what John was saying, right? Because the Sadducees and the Pharisees were doing the best they could to lead the people of Israel without the awareness of the incarnation, without the awareness of Jesus, without the awareness of God's coming to us, the Emmanuel, God in our midst. They were wrong, but they weren't bad, right? And so the Sadducees and the Pharisees are relying on some certain facts, right? What does he tell them? Do not imagine that this baptism, they've come to him for his baptism, thinking that there's something magical about it, right? There's something magical about his baptism. If you go into the Jordan River and John baptizes you, something magical will happen to you, something good, right? And he's telling them, be careful about that, because it's not just about this ritual baptism. His baptism is a little bit different before Jesus than what we know as we know of baptism today. Right? This is a baptism saying, the baptism itself was kind of a celebration. I've prepared myself. And I've practiced justice and righteousness and good living. And now I'm celebrating in this baptism as a sign of all that. Sometimes we get a little confused about baptism. Well, no worries, I'm going to be saved because I was baptized, right? That's our belief. If you're baptized, you believe in Jesus, you're going to heaven, right? And so that's what he's kind of telling these Sadducees and Pharisees. Now, I'm not taking that away. If you're baptized and if you believe, of course you're going to heaven. But the kingdom of God is at hand, brothers and sisters. How do we begin living now as we will live in heaven? The opportunity exists. The opportunity exists for us to live today as we imagine heaven would be. And that, brothers and sisters, is the good news of the gospel. The kingdom of God is at hand. If we're not living that out now, we're not living into the fullness of our lives. We're not enjoying all the richness and all the goodness that has been given to us. All those things begin now, not when we die and we're saved by Christ's sacrifice. That will be. But why miss the richness of this life? Why miss the richness of living out a heavenly life beginning now? That's John's message to the Sadducees and Pharisees. They're counting on too much past, right? And looking at a point too far ahead. So don't just count on that ritual baptism. There's more to come. There's more to be done. Another thing he says is, don't think that being one of the children of Abraham will protect you. Right? He tells them, he tells them this, that they are answering, well, we have Abraham as our ancestor, so we're okay. We're going to be okay. When the end time comes, this end time comes, when all creation will be one. When this end time comes, we'll be there. We'll be okay because we're the children of Abraham. Well, some of us think that too, right? Some of our end times, we might be too much for us to think about that end time, the end of all things, and the reconciliation of all the world for Christ. Sometimes that gets a little bit heavy for us. But sometimes we think about our end times being, well, let's see, I'm going to retire in 2017. That will be my end time. When I get to 2017 and I retire, well, then things will be great. I'll just be able to do whatever the heck I want to do. And then things will be rosy, right? Things will be rosy. The things that I can't do right now, I'm sorry, St. Benedict's, I can't help you out, but when I retire, I'll be around. I'll be able to help out. I'll be able to do some of the help around the maintenance of the place and taking care of the lawn. And that'll be my end time, right? Or maybe students. If I get through high school, I'll be done, right? I'll be done. We all have had those thoughts, right? Oh, only two more years to graduation, then I'll be graduated, and then, oh, everything will be just rosy, right? Unfortunately, we don't tell them because the work is going to begin then, right? And some of them are saying, well, they have not my end time, but I'm going to go on to college, and then I'm going to learn how to be a doctor or a lawyer or a business person or a nurse or an administrative person, and then my end time will be here. And I can count on the fact that all of the body of Christ is working towards that end. I'm a Christian. I'm kind of deserving of all the benefits of the good work that I do, right? So we all have our end times. It doesn't have to be this eschatological end time of however we imagine that to be. And so finally, John tells the Sadducees and Pharisees, don't waste the time you have left. Don't waste the time you have left. Don't rely on this baptism. Don't rely on your social status or your religious status. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. Begin living today as you imagine you'll be living in heaven, in paradise. It's available to you. It's available to each and every one of us to begin to live today like we imagine the glory of living in Christ's presence, because guess what? Christ is present. Christ is here in the midst. We are Christ's eyes and ears and hands and feet. This, brothers and sisters, is the body of Christ. Christ is present. So this Advent preparation, this Advent celebration, is a time for us to reflect on that. And then on Christmas morning, the celebration of the Incarnation, we are born. We are born every year, reborn every moment. We're reborn again as the body of Christ, demonstrated to us in a little babe, right? A little babe in a manger. That's what we are. We're those little babes in a manger going to be born on Christmas Day or on our Christmas moment. That moment can happen any time through the year when we begin to acknowledge the fact that the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is at hand. All the things you imagine, you can live now. That's John's message to the Sadducees and the Pharisees. All is available to us now. Why waste this time? Why not begin living it? How do we live it? How do we love one another more? How do we take care of one another more? How do we have right attitudes with those that we argue with? How do we have right attitudes with those that we think are angry with us? How do we reconcile with all the people we think we're going to meet in heaven and do it there? All those people in your lives that you're a little bit of a step away from, and you might justify it in your own mind by saying, well, when you get to heaven, they'll know my side and I'll know their side a little bit better and we'll be reconciled. How do we reconcile now? That's John's message to the Sadducees and Pharisees. Be reconciled to your brothers and sisters, your family, your working people, working associates. How do we reconcile now? So that on Christmas morning, in that celebration of Christmas, we're that new babe. Our whole demeanor, our whole action is somehow changed, and we're reborn. Reborn anew. Reconciled to all those places we think we can be reconciled to. Now, Father Albert will be mad if I didn't mention stewardship. But this stewardship period that we're in is just a small component of all of that, right? Just a very small component. It's perhaps one of the easiest components that we can have. Right? Because we acknowledge that everything in our being, as I said a few weeks ago, everything in our being is from God. Everything that we have is from God. We need to be reconciled there too. We need to be reconciled there too. Even though it might sound like, oh, another tap for money. Oh my gosh, there's so many things to do. I got to buy these Christmas presents. Got to pay these year-end bills. Got to put a little bit more aside for my retirement, because that's when I'll be great. That's when things will be great. You know, all these things. But I suggest to you, brothers and sisters, that that simple act of filling out that pledge card is just a very, very small component of this whole thing, but an essential component, because it says, I believe. Yes, God, I believe that all that I am is yours. And here's my sacrificial act to demonstrate that. Here is my sacrificial act to demonstrate that. And as we go through the year, and each Sunday, that little plate comes around, and we put our pledge in that, that's a renewal of that same sacrificial act. It's not just my obligation, okay, here it is. No, it's a renewal of that same sacrificial act, saying that, God, I believe that all that I am is yours. How can I be a better person? Continue to show me how I can be more reconciled to all those around me. And how can I acknowledge that all that I have is yours? Here's my sacrificial sign and symbol of that act. We have a lot of, I know that there's a report that's probably going to come to you that this time of the year where the church is always kind of looking to see where are all those pledges that were promised last year. And there's a big shortfall. I guess you know that, right? There's a big shortfall in all that. And so think about not only the 2017 pledge, but think about this shortfall that's this year, recalling that it was your sacrificial act. It's your own relationship with God. It's not about church. It's not about the budget. It's not about this or that. It's a pastoral concern of all of us to look at this small component of this reconciliation act that we're to look at through Advent. So please, please, do what you can. Do what you and God think are right. Don't do what the leadership here thinks right. Don't do what the leadership here hopes for. Do what you in your heart and your mind think is right. If you're happy, I'm sure the leadership here is happy. If you're happy, I'm sure that God, most importantly, is happy. So let's don't make those Sadducees and Pharisees the bad guy. Let's join with them with open ears and open hearts. Let's listen as if we were a Sadducee or a Pharisee. Let's don't count on our ritual baptism. Let's don't count on our religious status. Let's live and take advantage of the time that we have now. Brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen.